All right, welcome to Peeps Creek, the cafe where we serve you delightful, slightly intense, but definitely worthwhile conversations. A podcast focused on bringing people together by drinking, listening, and conversing. So grab your favorite drink and let's see what's on today's menu. All right, people, welcome to Peeps Creek, the cafe. You know, here at the cafe, we always have a conversation centered around a drink. And for those of you who out there are looking, you can see that I am pouring me a little concoction up in this cup. It is bourbon base, of course, and some seltzer and some chocolate bitters. Don't know how it's going to taste, but we are going to try it out. I'm your host, Sean. I also have my H2O. Boom, boom, boom. Just in case I get a little tipsy while we're over here talking. And today I am joined by Denise. Say hello, Denise.
Hello. That close up.
Nobody told you to put that camera so close to you.
I mean, I have no other way of doing it, but just...
And how are you doing over there today?
I'm not feeling that well today, so I hope you appreciate my efforts of being here with you.
I'm sorry?
No speaking English?
No. What are you saying?
I said I'm not feeling that well today, so I hope you appreciate my efforts of being here with you.
I mean, you being here was a choice, so... I gotta be appreciative for nothing.
Yeah, but you know, then we gotta hear the blah 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 blah. So who wants to hear all that?
Okay. And what are you drinking on? That is pretty nasty, but go ahead.
I'm drinking on some sweet wine from my favorite winery, which you already know which one it is, but I guess since we don't get no promotions from them, we won't mention. But it's sweet wine.
I mean, it don't look like it's enough. You only had a little bit left.
It's a whole bottle, but the bottles for this particular winery, for this particular wine, is a bottle like this small and like this skinny.
Is so, that the night jar?
Yeah. So yeah. I try to do it in two, you know, in two.
Yeah.
Things,
but that's completely nasty. It kind of tastes like
John. It's not. It's the best.
Tastes like Father John cough medicine, but
you're supposed to have it with dessert, which is why it's so sweet.
Well, you don't need dessert with that. Your teeth are gonna fall out.
Yep.
All right. So we are on episode 76. Happy episode 76 is a happy hour. And it is entitled "It's Definitely Been a Minute," because it has been a minute. I think the last time that we physically actually recorded was sometime in March, right?
I think
And we attempted to do things in between, but life got in the way. So
for Sean, because I don't have a life.
Well, I know you kept saying, "Are we recording? Are we recording?" I was like, "Yeah." And then just couldn't. Life just took me all over the place. But nothing bad, just busy and having made time for my craft, because I don't like just doing anything. I kind of like to make sure that it's right. I mean, to be fair, we did try some episodes where we tried to record some things, but you know, things
we had too much of a happy hour.
Just didn't
salute.
Didn't work out. All right, salute. Boom, 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 bam. All right. For those of you out there who are listening, make sure that you grab your favorite drink and let's get into some of the topics. So the first topic that we're going to talk about on this particular happy hour, I am going to say that some folks just love being oppressed. That is our first topic. And so while I hate actually talking about this lady because she just boils my buttons, I saw this on Instagram in regards to a conversation apparently that Marjorie, I don't even know her last name. What is her name? Taylor? Somebody.
Taylor something.
Yes, yeah, somebody. Anyway, she's the representative from somewhere.
Taylor Green?
A representative from somewhere that don't need to be nowhere. But anyhow, she kind of made this statement not too long ago, basically saying that an individual who also is a lawmaker, his name is Jamal Bowman, Rep. Jamal Bowman, who happens to be Black, They were kind of outside the Capitol after George Santos had some kind of press gaggle regarding his charges. That's the Republican who was just indicted on, I want to say,
wasn't it for fraud? It was like 12.
Yeah, it's like 12 different counts of something. But he, even when he won, most people said he shouldn't be there. But anyhow, so there was a conversation between these two representatives, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jamal Bowman. And Jamal Bowman was basically just telling her, look, you know, go back to the principle of conservatism, blah, blah, blah. So at the end or sometime afterwards, she's been this representative. I think she's from Georgia. Yeah, that's where she's from. This representative holds a conference and she basically says that being called a white supremacist, because she claims that's what he said. But I didn't hear that in the video. I watched it several different times, but I didn't hear him call her that. But she said that that's akin to referring to black people as the N-word, you know. N-I-G-G-E-R. So I sent it to Denise and Denise is like, oh my God, why are we talking about her? But what's your thought process on that?
I don't even know why they give her. I'm not going to say the platform, right? Because unfortunately it was like an interview thing, but why they even give her attention? She's not worth it at all. Move on.
I know. And I hesitated because I'm also probably highlighting the fact that it's her. But what I think I want to just emphasize is that, you know, some people always want to feel like oppressed by something, right? And I just take offense to her trying to make that same and similar to being called the N-word, because quite frankly, white supremacy is the purpose why the N-word was used, right? White folks at the time thought that it was superior to black folks, thought that they can say and do whatever they want. And it just kind of immediately made me think about Emmett Till, right? I know everyone has heard about Emmett Till, but it's the concept of this white woman who can essentially lie and say that this little 13-year-old boy propositioned her in a store. And as a result of that, you know, he was lynched, murdered, and his mom had the open casket where you saw the disfiguration of his entire body as a result of the actions. But what bothered me is that it was white supremacy that caused those actions, right? And it's the fact that white folks at that particular time can say one particular word, and that was the law of the land, period, no matter what happens. Even though the two individuals who actually committed the murder went to trial, they were let off, right? And in fact, after they were let off by the jury, the two individuals gave an interview for a newspaper and made, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand dollars, and basically admitted that they did this purposely, right? And admitted that the actions or the allegations against Emmett Till were actually false. And the white, one of the women, her last name is Bryant Dunham or Dunham Bryant, the one who recanted her story in 2008 and recently died. It's like, you know, here she is living a full life in her 80s or something until she died. And this little 13, 14-year-old boy is lying in a grave somewhere, turning into dust because she lied. And so I just wanted to highlight the impact of Marjorie Taylor Greene attempted to parallel those two, because being called a white supremacist is actually what you are, if that's what you believe in. And I'm not saying that she is, but she definitely gives very white privilege, white woman syndrome. And the one other thing that she indicated, which really irritated me in the conference, is that she said that Jamal Brown had a history of being aggressive. And as a black guy, like, that's those kind of microaggressions, those the terms of referring to black folks as being aggressive, and somehow that's a justification for you to quote unquote be scared, has always been kind of a talking point for some white folks who just don't understand their privilege and won't check their privilege at the door. So that's the only reason I want to have that topic. Anything you want to say about that?
No, I think you said everything very, very well. better than I could have said it. So,
yeah. So it sucks. All right. So the next thing I saw is we're going to move and say whether or not this is employee of the month or Nasus. I'm sure some of you all saw this. Is it Dollar Tree or Dollar General?
I think I said Dollar General.
Because is there such thing as Dollar Tree anymore? Didn't they go out of business or something? Or did they not?
No, they still have Dollar Tree. I go to it all the time. Oh. It's just not a dollar anymore.
So why is it called Dollar Tree?
I don't think they changed their name. But you know, recently, you know, their headquarters are here, right? In Chesapeake?
Nah, didn't know that.
Yeah, they just laid off. I think it's over 100 or 200 employees.
Oh, yeah. No, didn't know that. Okay. So. Now she about to run him over. Not him pressing charges. Okay, so.
I mean, why not?
Okay, wait. Okay, so we don't have the full backstory. So I guess apparently this individual, the male that you heard, allegedly stole from this store. Don't know where it is. Didn't really care where it was located. I just saw the
California.
Video. Oh, California. And so I guess this individual worked there. And I don't know what position this individual held, but I'm assuming she had to leave because he's on a bike.
She's the manager.
Oh, she had to leave.
Yeah, it says manager.
It said to leave the store, get in her vehicle, chase him down, and hit him with the car. Because he was stealing. So what do you thought?
First of all, she didn't have to get on her vehicle. She chose to get on her vehicle.
I mean, to be fair, she could have been making a citizen's arrest because she did witness him in the commission of a crime. And so therefore she probably
if that is valid in the state of California. Ma'am, sit your behind and call the police. I mean, granted, she did say it was the second time, I guess, that he had done it. It's not that serious. He's not stealing from your home. I could maybe be sympathetic if he was taking the things out of her house because it has some sentimental value.
But this is her employer. She works there. She's probably working more than she's at home.
Ma'am, sit down, file a police report. I'm pretty sure that you have cameras inside your store. If you don't, then maybe this is the time to invest in cameras at your store. Just give the police the information so they can do their job. Thank you.
Okay, but what about the fact that she...
And he should file charges for real because she hit him with the car.
She was...
Assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, was it assault with a deadly weapon or...
Yes, it was. He was just driving his bicycle through the street.
Well, first of all, we don't know how much... First of all, I want to know what's in the basket because they both start picking up the items and putting them in the basket and putting in their car.
Listen, what does the Dollar Tree have
other than
snacks?
Wait. So he goes to the Dollar Tree on the bike, purportedly steals.
Actually,
items.
It's Dollar General. So Dollar they may General, have
whatever.
More, you know.
Goes, gets some items on the bike. So there's only so many bags he could take on the bike because he didn't have a basket. He's on the bike. And then she comes and it looks as if she rams him with the vehicle. But let's take it. Let's play it back.
Ran him with the vehicle.
Let's take it a step further. She saw him in the commission of a crime and she thought
that it was important because she saw him committing the crime. In order for the police to get there in time and make the appropriate arrest, she decided to deputize herself and indicate that she was doing a citizen arrest. And in most jurisdictions, there is a such thing as citizen's arrest. So you can place someone under arrest if you feel that they are, if you have reasonable suspicion that they have committed a crime or are in the process of committing a crime. Now, what we don't know is, I don't practice in Cali. I don't know what the requirement, the dollar amount has to be for it to be a felony, but a crime is a crime. And she thought that this was the only way that she was going to be able to stop him. So similar to those type of, I forget the police procedure where you kind of bump the car to stop it. That's what she was doing.
I tuned you out the minute you're trying to defend her.
I'm not trying to defend her. I'm trying to give you her perspective potentially, right?
No.
He says he's going to file. He said, I'm going to file a report, bitch.
He should.
Okay, but he's going to have to admit that he was stealing.
Hey, who do you think potentially is gonna is going to spend more time in jail, her or him?
Well, I don't know. Because we also don't know what he did in the commission, purportedly did in the commission of crime. What if he went in with something and made it seem like he was brandishing a weapon and then he stole the items? Then maybe she had a legitimate use of force because she believed her life was in danger.
Nasus. You don't disturb the title.
So, yes. Yeah, so, I don't know. First of all, let me just tell you me, okay? If I'm working in a store, because I used to accept bottles, and I used to work in a grocery store, not even a grocery store, a convenience store in Detroit, where I would take the bottles that people would bring in for recycling. And we had a lot of people who had a lot of issues, and they would be aggressive and blah, blah, blah. Now, if I saw them stealing, I'm not about to chase them out in the parking lot,
tried to
protect anything. Now, what I always had on my protection is a box cutter, because there was always some crazy motherfucker coming in. And actually there was, I was like 13 or 14, maybe, yeah, 13, 14. And there was one time where this guy was coming in and he was like being all loud, talking about what he was going to do, blah, blah, blah. But I ain't taking his bottle, because we don't take all bottles, right? There's only some bottles you get 10%, 10 cent. And then some was so dirty, I had to refuse them. So he got upset. He was like, yeah. And I took this box cutter and I told him, you come across this motherfucking threshold, I'm gonna slice your ass up, bro. You know what I got that from? My grandma.
From your mom's side or your dad?
My mom's side. Boom. Estherina. We don't play those games in Detroit, baby. But yeah. But
listen, I worked at a supermarket for 3 years. And you want to steal, do it. What? Take whatever you want.
You probably were trying to give them stuff in there so you can get it later when you went to the parking lot.
No, my mom. Listen, my mom picked us up and we had to leave straight from the supermarket to her car. No interactions with nobody. So even if that was the case, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Was that in Puerto Rico or?
Yeah, in Puerto Rico.
All right, let's move on to topic number three.
Wait, but was she employee of the month for you or nah?
Hell no. First of all, she just stayed her ass in the store.
Hello. She did way too much, maybe for some candy. It didn't look like he really grabbed much, but food.
I mean, I get it. She probably was frustrated, tired of this guy coming in allegedly. But no, she wouldn't get no employee of the month. If she was working at the dollar... The Peeps Creek Dollar Venture hypothetical situation, if that was the name of the store. No, she would not be employee of the month at all. All right. Okay, so topic three is dealing with two different situations. So let's talk about little homegirl. What's her name?
Who?
Andrea Serrano.
Oh, Andrea.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Are you going to put the article up?
Nah, go ahead.
All right. So the next case or topic or whatever you want to call it is Andrea Serrano, who had sexual relationships with a 13-year-old and had a child by him and was just sentenced to 90 days in jail.
And where is she located, madam?
In Colorado.
Okay. And what are your thought processes? Your thought process on that?
WTF.
Why?
90 days, 13-year-old. That's like literally watching my kid. Did I say how old she is? I don't think I mentioned that.
You did not, but I'm going to put it up on the screen for those of you who are watching. And I am getting this courtesy of the Neighborhood Talk. All right. So we have Andrea Serrano, who I don't know how old she is. She's like 30-something, isn't she?
31.
Yeah, she's 31 years old, okay? And so she's been accused of having sexual relations with a 13-year-old boy and later having this baby. And according to some people, she was given a light sentence. Now, what I understand is that here it says for sexually abusing the child. But what I understand actually is that I think her allegations were incest because she communicated to her therapist, according to court documents, she communicated to her therapist that she was having this relationship with this child who identified or looked to her as a mother figure. And apparently at the time that she communicated this to her therapist, he was in a car with her because she was talking to her therapist in a car, and she was maybe like 8 weeks pregnant at that particular time. And, at some point, they were living together for a few weeks. So what I don't know and is not clear is whether or not she had any kind of like if she was a, what do you call, sorry, I'm having a brain fart. Not of all that, like a foster parent to this child or what?
Yeah, or like
if,
a foster.
Or if he's like part of the family and she's watching him, because I don't know why they would use the term incest for her allegations. So what do you think? What's your thought process on that?
I think based on the different articles that I read, she was taking care of him because it seems that he was removed from the home. So he was actually living with her and she was the one taking care of him. So she was acting like his surrogate mother. That's why he would refer to her as mom. But 90 days, I think, is ridiculous. I think she should have spent more time than that. Way more time than that.
So you think 90 days is too short?
Yes, of course it is.
Why?
And originally, she wasn't even going to spend no jail time because she agreed to that plea deal where she was, as long as she registered as a sex offender, it was something. Register as a sex offender and have intensive supervised probation, she didn't have to do no jail time. But then the judge said that wouldn't be setting an example, and he gave her 90 days. Still, like, the way I look at it is, like, if that was my kid right now, like, Dorian just turned 14. So, oh, my God, like, I would literally kill the lady.
Yeah, I think that's going a little too far. And even if, hypothetically speaking, just, you know, hypothetically speaking, even if it was technically legal, and I'm not saying it is, just hypothetical, even if it was technically legal, it's still problematic because this is an individual who I feel like the lady, Andrea, used false pretenses in the sense of I'm your protector, but yet sleep with me, right? It's almost, it's like there's an innocence with children that you just can't do, right? And that's kind of why not too long ago the Supreme Court determined that children who are convicted of like major crimes typically can't spend life in prison because there's evidence that the frontal lobe, in which determines how we like navigate through reason and thought processes and knowing right for wrong, that they technically don't develop until people are like 20 or 21. I think is actually older until like 20 even more than 21. And so here you have a 13-year-old sleeping with a 30-year-old and having a baby at the age of 14 with a 31-year-old whom he referred to as mom. Kind of weird.
Sickening.
Yeah, because we used to have, I used to live in this building in Detroit. We used to have, I'm not going to say the people's name, but it was a one-bedroom apartment, but the mom used the bedroom, but the boy bed, there was like this large closet, and they kind of made that into a room for him. But the reality is that he would communicate that he would sleep with his mom, and she would be naked, and he would be naked. But he never really indicated that they were engaged in sexual intercourse or anything like that.
Naked.
Yes. And even as at that time I was maybe 12. Yeah, 12, 13, somewhere around that. Even at that time, my immediate reaction was like, this bitch crazy, right? and Child Protective Services had come and blah, blah, blah. Think that someone who you identify as your mom or protector is actually having you like have intercourse with her is kind of odd, kind of weird.
Listen, we really don't know all the circumstances because
I don't need to know the circumstances. He's 13, she's 30. Ain't no circumstances. The fuck?
I know, but what I'm saying is like, you know, immediately when I hear that, I think of where the hell were the parents? You know what I mean? So, but obviously something must have happened. Because the kid was not with the parents. He's been living with this lady. But I'm like me with Dorian. Nah, I need to know where you're going, who you're going with, what are the sleepings. Like, why wasn't there more supervision with this kid at that age when they, you know, start experiencing emotions and getting curious and wanting to do this, wanting to do that? You right. know, like, where was the parents guiding this kid? Obviously, they weren't.
Well,
I'm not saying that the child is at fault at all.
Well, okay. Where are the parents? We don't know. They could be drug addicts.
Well, the mama was somewhere doing an interview. Let me stop.
Or they could have been, they could be family members who just didn't have the wherewithal to take care of the child, and they entrusted themselves with Andrea because she held herself out to be someone trustworthy. I don't know the facts, okay? The bottom line is I don't care about the facts. The fact remains is that there was a 13-year-old boy sleeping with a 30-year-old, and but for the fact that she disclosed this to her therapist, right, we probably wouldn't have heard about it. And the only reason, right? The only reason, because typically there is this such thing. See, look at the beauty of these conversations. There's such thing as therapist-patient privilege, right? So there are certain things that I could say to my doctor and my therapist that individual cannot disclose. Similar to like as an attorney, there's certain information you can't disclose except for certain exceptions. And one of the exceptions to, in most jurisdictions, one of the exceptions to the, you know, therapist patient or doctor patient rule is if the individual is in the process of committing a crime, right? Or trying to do fraud or things of that nature. And in this particular instance, it leads me to believe in that jurisdiction that the age limit would indicate that there was either statutory rape potentially or some other crime. And as a result of that, the therapist had to inform the authorities, right? Because the individual was in the process of committing a crime because she must have said that she was intimate with the person, having a baby, and they were living together, right? But here's the other thing. If it was statutory, why the fuck is that not the crime that she's charged with? That's what I understand. Because I think that if it was a male in those roles, that we would not be here talking about 90 days. No offense.
Agree.
Okay. If it was a male offender and the victim was a female, we would not be in this predicament of 90 days is sufficient. And it goes to this whole stereotype in our systems, in the criminal justice system particularly, that there's a difference of how to apply the law when a male is the victim versus a female. And it's not always the case, but it is, I think there is sufficient evidence out there, research to indicate that when males are the victim of a crime, the same outrage, the same rah-rah-rah about it is not there, right? Whether it's from the prosecuting office or whether it's from the general public or even when it's from the administration of justice that comes from the courthouses that the individuals go to with respect to the crimes that they're charged with. So it's kind of annoying.
Well, it does say in the state of Colorado, it's a felony level crime, which they call it sexual assault on a child, which is one of the charges that she had, if it occurs with a child that's under the age of 15. Well, so I guess she was charged with that, but I guess because she took that plea deal.
Well, we don't know what she was charged with, but maybe she was.
It says,
what was she charged with?
She was charged with sexual assault on a child by one in a position of trust. And the second charge was sex assault on a child, which the state of Colorado considers
statutory rape.
Right.
And, you know, for those of you who don't know the difference between rape and statutory rape, in most jurisdictions, and this is not legal advice, most jurisdictions, statutory rape means that there's no defense, right? If you actually engage in the sexual activity or the sexual act with an individual who is deemed by law to be unable to consent, it doesn't matter, right? You're supposed to be charged with statutory rape. So even if the person held themselves out to be older than what they were, for instance, they look older than what they were, and if they gave you a fake ID that indicated that they are of age when in fact they're not age, under the black letter law for statutory rape, none of that matters. None of that is the defense, right? So that's kind of the difference. All right. Moving on to the next situation. Now, this one is a little odd, too. I don't know what's going on with these people. These people.
What's going on in the world?
I don't know if this individual got some mental issues or not. We are going to credit the neighborhood talk again, because that's where I got this from. But we are going to talk a little bit here about our little homeboy named Corey Rollins. He's 26 and he used to be a teacher assistant. Okay, so he was arrested for some particular point for licking some child's feet at a air park back in January. And then he was arrested after allegedly trying to approach a different child in Grovetown and allegedly commit the same offense, because apparently what he did was he went to the child and was like, "Let me see your feet."
It's not even funny. It's sad.
I know. I don't need to be funny, but I'm like, bro, for what? What are you doing? And why are you approaching kids?
He must have some type of mental illness. I mean, some type of something. He must not be in his right mind. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it. And he didn't just go and say, "Show me your feet." To the second kid, he apparently showed him the picture of his feet and said, "Do your feet look like this?" And the kid was like, "Nah," because the kid was playing basketball in his home. So he got out of his car. He literally stopped his car to show him the picture and ask him if his feet look like that. The kid was like, "No, they don't." So he's like, "Show me." And that's when the kid ran inside to his mama. And his mama had heard similar stories and Googled him and then showed him the picture, showed the kid the picture, and that's how the kid identified him. Mm. And then in the previous case that he got charged for, it was two kids that he did it to.
Were they at school? Because I was confused.
No, it was in the, well, he apparently has done it to some girls in the school, which is why he was removed from the position, and then he I guess he got fired or something. But the one in the air park that you were mentioning, or in the park that you were mentioning, it was two kids that he did it to.
Kind of crazy.
But you know that the prosecutors were trying to, I mean, the district attorney was arguing with the judge not to give him bond. It was the judge who granted the bond with conditions of no contact with the victims, curfew of 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and avoiding the incident locations. which we got to give it to him. He did. He went to another county to do it. And it was within his curfew time.
Why do we have to give that to him?
The fuck, I'm just saying, crazy. We should be getting this judge for actually letting him out.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I wonder, wait, so where was he when he was trying to, when he was licking the kid's feet initially, the ones that he was in jail from? Was he at work?
Oh God, I feel like throwing up.
No, I know. So, like, I'm so confused. Where the hell did this happen?
So the girls.
At a park.
Right. But remember, before the park, he had the incident with the girls at the school.
That's what I'm saying. That happened at the school while he was serving as a teacher assistant?
Yes. Mm. Remember, he was a teacher assistant, but you know, he was a teacher assistant for physical education. So he knew what he was doing. Physical education, you take off your shoes, you know, you you change to your tennis shoes. So he saw those feet.
Why is he out?
Because the judge granted him bond.
Why?
Exactly. That's what the district attorneys were trying not to, but the judge still granted it.
I mean, I don't even care if the dude never was in trouble, right? And I hate to say this. I hate the fact that, you know, I'm advocating that this black dude being incarcerated. But the problem that I have with this is that the facts of the case are that he is an individual in a position of authority, assuming for sake of argument that the allegations that's presented are accurate. I'm not saying he did it one way or the other. I wasn't there. I don't know because I haven't looked at all the facts. But assuming that to be the case, he's an individual with authority over individuals who, and these were not like high schoolers, like, even though that's not justification, but I think they were like elementary level students.
Yeah, elementary, right? School.
So he's an individual of authority who individuals, kids are told, respect your elders, go to school, listen to the teacher, do what they say. And so here these children are acquiescing to this fucking psycho's perspective of let me lick your feet in the middle of school. And I'm like, why would you let this dude out? Like, obviously, there are some psychological. And did you let him out before you did a psychological evaluation to determine whether or not there are some other triggers or other issues with this dude? Like, that's insane.
Obviously, I didn't see the court records, but it doesn't mention anything about the psychological evaluation. And it just says the district attorney argued against the bond, which was $38,700. He was out without ankle monitor. And he committed that second one where the kid was playing basketball.
Like weeks.
10 days, not weeks.
Oh, week. Not even days. He didn't even go 2 weeks.
No. Crazy. Yeah, but we need to go after that judge. I need to find out who the hell this judge was.
Yeah, I mean, this is why y'all need to vote. This is why y'all need to vote.
Actually, does it say what state it's in? Because I couldn't have voted if it's not Virginia.
No, that's why people need to go out here and vote for these local elections to see what damn judges are running for offices. That's why. Georgia. It's in Georgia because he was an elementary school teacher's aide accused of licking a child's feet at a Georgia's trampoline park in January.
Makes me sick. I have something with feet where, you know how people.
Oh, so it wasn't school. It wasn't school then. It was he worked at an elementary school, but he licked a 7-year-old's foot at a trampoline park.
Yeah, but he had an incident with 3 girls at the school.
In addition to this one?
Yes, in addition to
there's 4 different people involved, young people involved.
There are 5 different people. The 3 girls in the school and the trampoline park was 2 kids that were together.
And what about, wait, let me make sure I understand.
Actually, 6 people.
So he did it at the school. He had some interaction with at the school and at the trampoline park?
Correct. The situation at the school, they don't specify if it was licking the feet. But something happened at the school with 3 girls, which is why he was fired. The trampoline park is where he licked the feet of 2 kids that were together being watched by their mom. And then apparently he said that he was there at the trampoline park waiting for his family. It ended up being a lie. He was there by himself. Obviously, he went there with some type of purpose.
He was casing, yeah.
Yeah.
He was casing the joint, trying to figure out some victims.
And then a kid the 12-year-old that was playing basketball.
The devil is busy, baby. The devil is busy.
Yeah, it is.
All right. We are going to move to topic four. We're going to go to my hometown.
Your crazy hometown for real. I mean, what is going on in Detroit, people?
We're going to go to my hometown. I don't really want to do this, but
you gotta you're going to do it.
And all things love is, what is it? And all things. Wait.
I don't know. English is not my first language.
I forgot to take.
Love and war?
Yeah, love and war or something. Anyway, I am going to go back to my hometown, Detroit, Michigan. And I don't know what school it is because I didn't pull the documents yet because the lawsuit hasn't gone that far. But apparently.
It was it's a charter school, Detroit Charter School.
Oh, it was a charter school. Okay. Yeah. So a Detroit school is sued after, and we're going to credit the neighborhood ATL again, the Instagram account, that a Detroit school was sued after making an eighth grader remove her shirt, fold down her bra and underwear despite being on her period to search for vape pens she never had. School initially lied and told parents they never searched her. All right. So apparently what happened is that as we kind of figure out from the allegations, is that there was an allegation from one of the individuals who was actually bullying the victim to say that individual has some kind of weapon or something, right? But was it a weapon or did they actually say vape pen?
Because no, it was vape pen, no weapon. It was a vape pen.
So why are you searching her for a vape pen?
Because the girl said that she had a vape pen in her underwear.
Okay, why are you searching her for a vape pen?
Well, yeah, that's the question.
So, and that's kind of the victim's lawyer's perspective is that there was no allegation that anyone was in imminent danger, right? There's no allegation that the victim was brandishing a gun or had a knife or anything in that nature. But here's the other issue that I have with this. I'm just speaking as a parent, okay? I don't even care about what the law says at this particular point. As a parent, I wish a motherfucker would take my child into a school, strip search them, and then tell me that you're not strip searching them and embarrass the child after the child have communicated to you that they are on their monthly cycle, which is also a topic that is sensitive in and of itself. Like, what makes you think that it's appropriate to do that? I'm just confused. What makes you think that's appropriate?
I agree. And add to that the fact that they had already searched her locker. They had already searched her backpack. They had searched her pockets everywhere and couldn't find anything. So then they took her into this room and made her take off her clothes to see if she had it in her underwear. But then one of the teachers, because it was two female teachers that had her go into the room, mm-hmm. when they had her fold her underwear to see if it was in her underwear, one of the teachers said, "What is that you have, like, apparently in the area of her underwear?" And uh-huh. the girl said, "It's my pad. I'm on my period." That teacher, a couple of minutes before, had given her a pad.
So she already knew.
She already knew.
Yeah, she already knew. So she already knew that the individual was in a sensitive point in her life.
Exactly.
How old was the victim? Do we know? Because I couldn't find out. Because most of the lawsuits are going to. I don't know. Oh, eighth grader. So she had to have been.
Oh, she was 14.
Yeah. Okay.
She was 14 because it says that the girl is now. She is scared to return to school.
Wouldn't
and
you?
They have. Heck yeah. I would be freaking embarrassed. I mean, come on now.
And not even from my. I guess what bothers me is not only from my classmates, but really the instructors, right? And, you know, I tell this story all the time. There is this one elementary teacher. Her name is Miss Lucy. Okay. And what happens is that you would be amazed at how individuals who you are taught to respect, look up to, admire, and just give them like give them all the respect in the world because of what they do, right? Here I was, I always thought I was like this, you know, nerd, love school, blah, blah, blah. But now,
I hate to tell you, but it's not like you thought you were. You were.
But Miss Lucy basically said, nah, bro, you dumb as shit. Like, she was evil to me. I don't know what it was about me. She hated me. Like, she would separate me from the class. She would tell me I was stupid, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. And for years, I really ultimately thought I was dumb. Like, I would not want to, like, do work, this, that, and the third, not do great in school. And, you know, here I am, 42 years old. And that's still a story that I remember to this day, right? And I hate her. There's no other word for that. I don't care where she is. I'm sure she's dead by now. But fuck her. No offense. Because she really traumatized me as an individual. And I say all that to say not to bring this to me. But the fact of the matter is that these things that people endure as children, impressionable children, it lingers with them for years, and it caused people to struggle with them for years. And to add on top of that is it's a minority. And I'm not saying that because we're supposed to get like, oh my God, it's a minority, they get special privileges. The reality is most minorities don't deal with counseling, right? Because it's not something that a lot of families discuss. And financially, it's not a lot of things that people can do, right? We don't know what her financial situation is for her family. We don't know what they teach. But the bottom line is that she's impressionable. And so you have individuals who are supposed to be there to protect her that, as the allegations are, actually do her harm. It's, I don't know, it's very bad.
You know, as you mentioned those things, your son went through that too. With that one teacher.
Yeah, you don't think I know that? That's why I went up there and cussed that motherfucker out.
And it's like you said, you don't know the impact that it leaves on him. Because, you know, Davion would hate going to that class.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. And even like when I went to the school to have this conversation, she was just rude, disrespectful. And, you know, I don't play those games. Like, don't try to disrespect me, like, at all. And it blows my mind that these individuals decide to go into this field. And I know they get it hard, but you can't do certain things. And this lady was referencing my son. This lady was acting like a fucking 12-year-old. And here she was teaching middle school and high schoolers, right? But yeah,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
And yeah. Then, you know, that going back to the Detroit story, when the mom went to pick her up and she told her what happened, the mom called immediately the principal. And, you know, they said the principal wasn't in there. And because he wouldn't call her back, she ended up calling the police and filing, you know, the charges. Good. He didn't end up calling her until 8 p.m. saying, oh, are you calling about the vaping situation? So you knew what the mother was calling you for, sir. You knew you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And then he said the girl volunteered to take off her clothes.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, that's no fucking volunteer. She basically, there's someone asking her or telling her of authority that she needs to do this. There's no fucking volunteer. I mean, we had the same situation with Davion.
I was just going to say, we had the same situation.
Same situation, right? And here I am, a fucking, you know, same situation. And
we should have sued the damn school. Well, I hate that school. Robinson Secondary. Sue me. Sue me.
Yeah. You know, you spend all this money you buy for purposes of school districts and they let you down all the time. It's just you have to be vigilant. You have to be aware and you have to keep asking and asking and asking. And I'm not saying that none of these parents are doing this, but I'm saying that you spend more time trying to navigate through what really is. Because, you know, children operate out of fear. Children operate out of not wanting to, to be embarrassed. Children operate out of fear of wanting to protect what they think they're supposed to be protecting in their family. So there's a lot of things that goes on in children's mind. And it's just unfortunate that this situation occurred, particularly the allegations. I mean, there are allegations. There is no finding at this particular point. But the allegations in and of themselves are troubling. Yeah.
And hopefully that mom wins that case. We should have done the same.
Period. All day, fucking every day. All right. We're going to move on to topic five. Topic five is let's straighten it out. And in this particular point of the episode, we are going to give some advice to people who are seeking the need to hear from Peeps Creek. All right. Here we go. So relationship advice. Are you ready, Denise?
Listen, I'm ready. I had to laugh because you said getting advice from from Peeps Creek. I want to apologize right now for all the advice that I'm going to give because I don't know how you guys are going to take it. So I apologize now.
All right. So we have relationship advice. So these individuals at the time this advice was asked were together for 9 years. Male, female. The female is asexual, and apparently the male is not. And so here's kind of what happened. All right. They met 9 years ago. The female told the male that she was asexual from the beginning, that she had no desire in sex. So they were aware, the male was aware of this since day one, the boyfriend. The boyfriend claimed that they didn't need sex, yet constantly initiate physical contact with the female who's asexual and make sexual comments on a near daily basis. According to the female who's asexual, sex is physically and emotionally painful. They have difficulty saying no when constantly pressured by their boyfriend, which creates feelings that they are not a real woman if they don't let their partner have sex with them. And that they feel emotionally inadequate as a woman because they only experience negative things when engaging in sexual contact and have no desire for sex. The partner seems to think, the male seems to think that the female enjoys sex when they are engaged in sexual activity, despite the girlfriend telling them many times that she just pretend and say and do what the male wants them to do while they're having sex. She found that just ends the sex act quicker. She's told her boyfriend so many times over 9 years that she's never enjoyed sex. And when she engaged in sexual contact, she just meditates and goes somewhere else so that she doesn't feel it. Okay, I'm going to stop there before we continue. Just hearing those facts, if this was one of your girlfriends that you were talking to, kind of what would you say to her?
Miss, why did you stay for 9 years? Why are you putting yourself through all that physical pain, emotional pain for 9 years? Do you know that those 9 years you can't take back? Do you know that pain that you have gone through physically and emotionally is now trauma? Like, why? I read the story and I try to think of, well, maybe you weren't in love, but I don't think even if I was in love, if I know that I'm asexual, that I'm not going to enjoy it, not just because, and it's not the fact that I'm not going to enjoy it because I can't get into it. It's because it's physically painful. I don't care how much I love you. I would not put myself through that.
Well, I mean, sex can be painful physically and enjoyable at the same time. But I think also
she's asexual. She's not enjoying it.
I think coupled with that is that it is not just physically painful, it's emotionally painful. And I think the two are wrapping together where the emotional aspect has now become a metaphysical experience for her. That the pain, the physical pain, is a metaphysical experience of the fact that I don't want to have sex. I don't like to have sex. But yet here I am having sex with you just to please you when you know I don't want sex. You know what I mean?
I don't think that you as a man understand the pain that she is experiencing. that physical pain is like they're fucking ripping you apart. Why are you putting yourself through that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Ask her.
I don't even want to ask her. We are not friends anymore.
All right. Now, she says that her partner is smart enough to understand what asexuality is, yet he keeps thinking that there will be a day where she wants his penis inside her body. When they brought up getting the male then decided to say, well, here's the thought, I'll get a vasectomy. She realized that her boyfriend would never stop pushing sexual boundaries. Okay, let's pause there. Let's say you're in this situation and your friend tells you, hey, not only is it physically and emotionally painful, but now he's talking about he's getting a vasectomy. And so now I'm supposed to like enjoy sex. What's your thought process on that?
Well, even that, the ministry tells me, but he's smart enough to understand what asexual is. Miss, no, he's not. Because if he was smart enough, he wouldn't even attempt to have sex with you. Because but he maybe he
but I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. He very
that's,
well may.
That's why it's my opinion.
Okay. And that's why I'm giving my opinion. Okay. That's why I'm giving mine. The fuck.
But I mean you should have let me finish with mine before you interrupted me. But well, okay.
Interrupting you. We're having a conversation. Okay.
Are we?
We are. Okay. Does that really mean that You said that if he's not smart enough to know. I don't think that. I think that what he thinks in this particular situation is that because she has been given in for 9 years, right? I think what he has determined in his head is not that he doesn't know what asexuality is. I think what he has determined in his head is that maybe the fear that prevents her from having sex is the aspect of children. Because a vasectomy is not going to stop the pain. Because you're still inserting your penis into a vagina, right? In order to have sex. The vasectomy is just limiting and significantly reducing your ability to ejaculate and pass sperm, which can then form with her egg to create a child. That's what a vasectomy is. It has nothing to do with the act of sex. So for me, that's a telltale sign that the reason he said that is that it's not that he doesn't know what it is. I think that he is ignoring the fact that she's asexual, ignoring the fact that she has a physical, emotional experience that is not enjoyable, and instead is more concerned about busting a nut.
And you think the fact that he's ignoring all of this makes him a smart person?
No.
I didn't say that. He's not okay. Smart because if this is my thing.
Okay, sorry. Wait, let me make sure I hear you, but that's not what you said. But go ahead. Now you clarify.
What did I say?
You said you said he doesn't know what asexual means. And I'm saying that has nothing to do with it.
Before I said
that, though,
I said before we even went into the vasectomy, has she come to me to say he's smart to understand what asexual is, I would have told her, Miss, no, he's not. He is not smart. Because if he understood exactly what asexual was, he wouldn't have tried to initiate sex with her. My whole thing is, even if she has allowed him the 9 years to do that, if a person right now, let's not even say, I mean, I'm sorry, can you take that mic out of your face?
I'm trying to avoid cutting you off. I'm giving you your opportunity.
Because I'm about to ask you a question. So put me back.
And I will put it back. Go ahead.
Oh, I hate this close up. I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot.
It must not have been important. Wait, how did you forget? You were just going on this.
I don't know because you put that close up. I hate that close up. I hate every time you put that close up. It's like, ugh.
I love the close up. Look at me, baby.
We'll put it on you.
Boom. Ha.
Oh, I remember. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you start a relationship with someone and that person forget about the 9 years. You in the stages of getting to know this person, and this person is upfront with you and tells you they are asexual. What would you do as a man? Would you sit there and try to talk to her about, well, what does that mean? Or what does, you know, how do you feel or whatnot? Like, as a man, what would you have done?
Okay. Honestly, here's what I would have done. Okay. I would try to understand what her definition of asexual is. Because for some people, asexual is, I don't like the concept of sex. For others, asexual is, I only like sexual intercourse with someone I have a emotional attachment to. So the first thing I'm trying to figure out, is it A or B? Okay. If it's A, I don't like to have sex, then I would say to her, okay, that's fine. I think that we can be friends. Like, I can, you know, go hang out with you. We can go get some food. We can go get salads. We can go read books. We can go out for drinks.
But salads.
I'm just saying, this ain't no relationship, okay? Now, or the potential for a relationship. If it's the, I'm asexual in this aspect of, I only can have sex with those who I have an emotional attachment to, that's fine. Like, I get it. A lot of people do that, and I can manage through that. But what I can't manage through is, I don't like sex. I ain't never having sex, which is the definition that I think this person subscribes to.
What is the definition again? I don't like sex. What?
I don't like sex. I don't want to have sex. Is what I think this lady is subscribing to.
It's painful for her.
Okay. Again, which goes to, I don't want sex. I don't like sex. I don't want to have it. Versus some individuals who identify as being asexual, meaning I can enjoy sex, but only if I have an emotional attachment to the person that I have. I'm not naturally gravitating towards, oh, let's bump and grind. I'm gravitating towards, let's see if we can develop this emotional connection so that we can then create whatever we're going to create sexually. I think there is multiple definitions of the spectrum of asexuality, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. You know, I hope she never comes to me for advice, because my advice would be, why you even gave 9 years of your life? You've wasted 9 years you can't take back. You've gone through pain the entire 9 years, emotionally, physically. Why? Why would you even put yourself through that? What does this man give you? Or why is he even worth for you having to put yourself through that? It's not worth it. Like,
yeah, no, I don't know what value she gets. And I mean, going back to the whole vasectomy thing, which, what's the value? Like, okay, you get a vasectomy, but I'm still going to be in pain. What's the fucking point? So to me, it just seems like this is an individual who has settled with the fact that she's in a relationship. She's happy with the concept of being in a relationship. She's happy with maybe the aspects of hanging out and doing X, Y, and Z with this individual. But the problem is that they don't have the same concept of what a relationship means to them. And I just don't think not. First of all, this person, if I was asexual in the manner in which she says she's asexual, this person wouldn't be there 3 weeks, let alone nine years. Okay.
Now, I agree.
You know, maybe she has some like psychological issues with that, but I think that she's indicating her post, which is very long. She indicated in her post, you know, about the aspect of therapy. I think maybe she needs to keep navigating through that. And quite frankly, I think they need to break up. Hopefully they already broke up, but.
Therapy is not even working for her, because she mentioned how the therapist, yeah.
All right, let's move on. All right, we are also given more relationship advice. This person said that they are devastated. Just the use of that word. And not only did they say devastated is his own sentence. So you know that they've been through the storm.
They're devastated.
Very. All right. Okay, so this person is reaching out because they have a boyfriend for 4 years. They have a house together, and things have been up and down. They've sought counseling, but have only had 2 sessions. And the counselor says that the boyfriend is an avoidant, and the individual seeking advice, because we don't know if it's male or female. the person seeking the advice is anxious. And so the boyfriend and the person seeking the advice had a chat this particular day, and the boyfriend basically says that they don't have a connection or warmth. And the person seeking the advice says that they agree. And so they suggested practical things that they can do to work on it. The boyfriend shut down all of them, all of the things that you do. Hey, we can do date night. Hey, we can go out and read a book. Hey, we can go on a motorcycle ride. Hey, we can go to do hookah. Hey, we can go do this and a third. Shut them down. Nah, not interested. Next. And the boyfriend told the individual seeking advice that they are mentally checked out of the relationship. So they suggested that they split. But the boyfriend is saying we should split, but let's keep talking. And the other complication here is that they got a house together. Not that they rented together. It seems like they actually bought a house together. Okay. What is your thought process? This is your friend coming to you with this, Denise.
I see no complications. Actually, let's go ahead and try to sell that house. Go ahead, get your lawyer, speak to his lawyer, and try to make arrangements, see what we need to do. Does he want to buy you out? Or do you guys want to put that house in the market, get your half, get yourself a nice condo, and leave? It's time to move.
That's it? There's no working it out? There's no communication?
She tried. I can't say she or he because we don't know, but the person tried. It's not working out.
Okay, but
what else working out you want to do?
Selling a home is not easy.
I didn't say it was easy. It's a process.
So what are they going to do in the interim?
Find yourself somewhere to go. Ask mom or dad if you still have your parents alive. Ooh. Listen, come with me. Come stay here.
Which one? Because I ain't going nowhere. I pay my mortgage.
But then don't ask me for advice.
I'm like that girl. I'm like the girl from 1,000 Pounds Sisters. Bitch, I pay my bills. My bills are paid.
Then that's all I can do for you.
And I'm going to stay right here.
Listen, you're the one who's going to be living through that torment with the person, not me.
Okay, but what about the fact that the person is saying, we should split, but we should still keep talking?
No. Like, I don't know why you asked me for advice, because I'm at an age now that I'm not putting myself through no emotional distress. No, you want to stay in the talking stages. I don't have time for talking stages. Go do that with somebody else.
Wait, are you talking about me personally? Because I ain't in no talking stages.
The guy, well, I can't say the guy or the girl, but the person, the other party who said, let's continue talking. If I was the person, I would say, no, I don't have time for talking.
Selfie time, baby. For the gram, because I don't post enough on this peep screen. So you're telling them sell the house and separate.
I'm saying, let's go ahead and find you. If you don't have nowhere to go, come stay right here with me for the time that it is for you to get the situation done. You don't have to sell the house. He can buy you out. He or she can buy you out.
Yeah, okay, let me just give my advice. Okay, first of all, if I was their friends, my advice would have been this first and foremost. First of all, you ain't buying shit with this person because y'all ain't married. Okay, y'all have no connection with each other legally, and this house is going to tie you all legally. I don't care how much you think you love this person. I don't care how much you think, oh, we are this, that, and third. People change. People will turn into your worst enemy and the drop of a motherfucking dime, okay, period. I ain't buying shit with nobody who I'm not legally able to take everything that they got, okay, because they ain't signed no prenup.
Next, they already bought it, though. So what is your advice?
Okay, that's my advice. A, you shouldn't have bought the house, dummy. Okay. B, okay. Now, you are he's an avoidant. You are anxious. There's already a conflict, right? So you all should have discussed kind of, you know, what your thought process and how you deal with issues. I have learned going forward dating people that I'm having these conversations very early on. How do you deal with disagreement, right? And you will learn very early on how individuals deal with disagreement based upon how they interact with that conversation. And if they avoid the conversation, that means that's the type of individual that every time there's a fucking issue, they're going to walk around the corner, they're going to do this. Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about it later. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. You're stressing me out. No, we don't need that. We're adults. We're going to have conversations. If in fact, we have a disagreement, if we are working towards a relationship, let's fucking talk it out. Now, every relationship requires work, requires energy. But in this particular instance, you all kind of got, the way I look at it, you got into this relationship unequally yoked. And so therefore, you are only perpetuating what you already saw. I'm sure you saw signs of this very early on before you all decided, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend, boyfriend and boyfriend, girlfriend and girlfriend, whatever the fuck y'all are. Or let's buy this house, right? It's not like y'all buying this house to be business partners so that you can make money and rent. You're buying it so that you can live together. That's that piece. The other piece is that the relationship is over. Now, if the person is saying, let's keep talking, you need to define what that means. Do you mean let's be friends? Because yes, I could be friends with exes, right? Or is that the concept of let me do what I need to do because I don't feel like dealing with your bullshit. But when I am in need, I need you available to me, right? Those are different things. And so my thing is, I would say to the individual who's asking advice, where do you see yourself fitting? Are you the type of individual that is willing to be a friend with the ex? Or are you the type of person who's willing to subject yourself to being essentially a thing of the moment? And what I mean by thing of a moment, when it's convenient for the other person, I'm going to acquiesce and give you all of me while you give me nothing. So that's my piece of advice.
Listen,
first of all, while I was giving my piece of advice, why are you looking around like I'm just like,
oh my God, I have this freaking, because I don't want to say effing fruit fly that is getting on my freaking nerves. But let me tell you this. So I always said, right?
Yes.
No, that if we break up, we could be friends. You know, I'm mature enough to be a friend, right? But I have come to the conclusion that the only two people that I have stayed in a friendship with, and based on the relationships that I've been with, are the fathers of my two kids. Because I have to, because I have no other choice. But I was talking to this person, right? And originally in the talking stages, I said to this person, no, you know, I'm mature enough to be able to remain your friend if it doesn't work out. But the minute that a situation happened, I think it was because of how the situation happened. When we had the conversation and he broke it off, because he broke it off, he says, but, you know, hopefully we can remain friends. And I said, what the fuck for? I don't want to be your friend. Why do I have to be your friend? Like, no, I don't care to be your friend. I don't even want to be your friend. So that's why when you said we could be friends, I started laughing because I thought that I personally in my relationships could be mature enough to remain as friend with someone. Not that I'm immature if I don't remain their friends, but the way I look at it is why? Why would I remain your friend? If it didn't work out in the relationship, you know, way, I don't want to be your friend. I don't need you as a friend. I have my friends already.
Well, and that is a valid feeling. No one is taking it away. For me, I don't think that way. I feel like because I also take the perspective that friendships work just like relationships. It requires work. It requires give and take. It requires all of that. And there are some aspects that when it comes to being romantic that complicates that. But if the two individuals are able to remove the romantic piece without the whole concept of let's continue to hook up, like let's be like side pieces or let's be fuck buddies and all that. That's different, right? Because you truly are not separating the two. But I can separate the two. And quite frankly, I can separate the two when I'm not in a relationship. I can separate the two where if I want to have sex with the person who I used to date, but we are friends, I can separate the two. I am not a random sex person, though. So for me, that's harder. So I typically try to take the stance of let's be friends. But, you know, it's, you know, to each his own. And there's nothing wrong with it. At least you were mature enough to say, mm-hmm. yeah, fuck it.
Listen, I remain friends with you because I have to. Although
you
I
ain't got to.
In my head,
I ain't got to be your friend, okay? I got friends. In my friends is my dog and my cat. Thank you. Thank you for being right here on this podcast.
I've said I will keep the peace between the two fathers, you know, and me for the 18 years of my kids' lives.
What peace, though? Because you caused a lot of havoc. But
no, I did not. If havoc between us not agreeing with certain things, but I've been a very now I want to know what havoc have I caused.
That's for a different episode.
Whatever, because you know I've been a really good. I co-parent very well. So
co-parent is different. You got to co-parent. I'm saying. Because
you don't have to co-parent.
Yes, you do. It impacts. Well, okay. We have a different opinion on this. This is a different episode. Yes, you do need to co-parent.
Obviously, it's the right thing to do.
No. Co-parent. You need to. You don't have to. You need to co-parent because the bottom line.
And this is exactly why I co-parent, because nobody wants to deal with your ass. So I had to.
The bottom line is.
We need to do an episode with our child, because child will tell you specifically the pain, how painful it is to deal with you, how traumatizing it is to deal with you. So I've been more than a saint with you.
Well, I will wait to, because you Catholic, right? I'll wait till the Pope comes and make you a saint and rectifies that you are a saint. And
in my
y'all
head,
stop praying to you. Okay, go
in
ahead.
In my head, I said, I am going to try to keep the peace between Sean and I for the sake of our child. And I always said to myself, once baby turns 18,
he's already 18.
Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck him. F-U-C-K.
Well, you're still on this podcast because he's about to be 19.
But listen, my child still lives with you. And just for the peace of my kid,
you're about to be 19. He's about to be 19
as my friend.
Oh my God! If this is your way of saying you love me, it's fine.
I hate you.
I will accept it. Thank you.
If I didn't
boo-boo.
Have to speak to you for the rest of my life,
hey, that's the beauty of Peep Creek, the cafe.
Yeah,
love is
yeah,
in
that
air.
Is the beauty.
Love is in the air.
He ain't lying. That is definitely
every
the beauty.
Every time
of
I Peep look Creek. Around. All right, moving on.
Oh, God, you're going to make me throw the hell up.
Last topic of the day is topic 6. Is it just another day? It's just another day, or is it? And here we are talking about birthdays. All right, so first, before we go into this very last topic, because we've been going a moment, before we go to this last topic, I want to give a happy belated birthday to Denise. Her birthday was five days ago. Okay. Happy belated, happy 42nd birthday to Denise.
Damn, you gotta throw my age out there?
Clink, 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 clack, clack, clack. Yeah. Fuck it. And I'm gonna give a happy, why are you calling me?
Just answer.
Yes.
Happy belated birthday, Sean.
Say it again.
Happy belated birthday.
You're so ghetto. And happy belated birthday to me. All right. So both have birthdays. Mine in April. Hers in
May.
I am an Aries, the only sign that really matters. And she is, I don't even know what sign that is. What is that?
Taurus.
Oh, she's a Taurus. Don't know what that means. But
the horns.
Yeah, but I don't know what's the significance about Taurus.
We are loyal to
no,
a
you're
cult.
Not. All right.
Yes, we are.
Fake news already. Donald Trump.
Okay.
Junior. Okay. So happy belated birthday to us.
Thank you.
But the topic was forgetting, this is relating to relationship, but I think you could take this and extend it further. Forgetting a birthday is immediate grounds for suspension. What do you think?
No.
Why?
Okay. Let me not say no, right? I think that if my significant other, right, a person that I live with, not a person that I'm just starting to talk to, because it's understandable that they may forget. But if this is a person that I've been in a relationship with and they forget my birthday, oh, there's going to be a fight. But if it's a regular person, nah.
What does regular person mean? Somebody you don't live
like
with?
No relationship, meaning that, right, not my significant other. If it's my friend, if it's my coworker, if it's, you know, even my kids, like, kids these days don't even care about their parents' birthdays. Like, I wouldn't even care.
So I don't know how I really feel about it. I've always struggled with my birthday because I never really liked the concept that is a birthday, right? I've struggled for whatever reason. I haven't gone through therapy to figure out why.
What do you mean?
I'm going to tell you. I never really liked. So my birthday normally is like, it's always been blah, right? Because I've always felt, at least growing up, let me say this, at least since I've been an adult, I always felt like no one really gave a fuck. So for me, every birthday always had some kind of negative connotation to it. It's not that I'm not happy to be alive. It's just that, okay, no one really celebrates it for me, right? It wasn't until recently that I've come into the concept of recognizing that it's worth a celebration. The fact that I'm here another day, I'm able to breathe and give life to whatever it is. And I'm fucking fun, period. The fuck? So I have come into the concept of I tend to want to celebrate other people in their birthdays because it's important. It's an important remembrance of the fact that you made a mark in this large world, even though it's a small world that we in. And I think there's value in people who you call friends, close friends, value in family members, value and significant others recognizing your birthday. If it's a text, if it's a call, it doesn't matter. Like, all those little things matter, I think, because it's just recognition. Like, people taking moments and time out of their day to write on Facebook, happy birthday. And half these people don't even fucking know you, but they write it on there. And what I used to do, I don't do it as much because it's time consuming. I used to individually go and thank every person because I felt like you didn't have to take a moment out of your day to recognize that I'm here another day. And I'm going to acknowledge that you did that. But that's time consuming and time is money and money is time. But, you know, I do think birthdays are important. And I think that with close friends, there's no excuse for forgetting unless there's some traumatic information situation going on in your life.
But I will say, I'm not personally listening here to you say that, right? I'm not looking at it as you trying to, you know, the person that wants attention. I'm not looking at it that way. I understand what you're saying. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I just called him, because he got on me just because I texted him. Like, the hell?
I did not. I said, yes, thank you. No, I did not. I did not say that for my birthday.
On Sunday, you said, I called you for your birthday.
Oh, that's different. I mean, but I said,
you couldn't call me. You couldn't pick up that phone and dial me. Like,
oh, yeah, because I think those little things are important. I can pick up my phone, give you a little, and I don't even like talking on the phone. I pick up the phone, give you a little chit chat. Hey, happy birthday. Boom. You good? Yeah. Boom. Bam. Period. It ain't hard.
It is hard. People don't like talking on the phone.
It ain't hard. Okay. But anyhow, that is episode 76. It is, what is it called? Oh.
Happy hour.
Happy hour. It's definitely been a minute. And we definitely talked a minute. We had quite a few different topics. You can reach us on Facebook at Peeps Creek Cafe. The link is right there. You can get us on IG, Twitter, and Twitter at Peeps Creek. What was that noise? You can look at us on YouTube at Peeps Creek Podcast. You can go to the website, look at the videos, listen to the audio, www.peepscreek.com. You can send us an email. Perhaps you didn't like what I had to say, which is hard to believe, but also very believable. You can send us an email at cafe@peepscreek.com. And then all the links and everything else that I just talked about, cafe.peepscreek.com/links. Boom. And until next time, make sure that you continue to drink, listen, and converse. Are you ready, Denise?
Wait, before you close, do you say happy belated Mother's Day?
Nah. That was the... We'll talk about that. Because that's really the Lord's work for those people who are religious. You're just a vessel that's been used for his blessing. But happy belated Mother's Day.
I mean, for all the mothers that listen to your podcast.
I'm just playing. I forgot it was Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day. But I text you for Mother's Day.
Oh, no. I don't care if you didn't tell me. I'm just saying for your listeners.
Oh,
I'm
not Sean.
I don't hold grudges like that.
I don't hold grudges either.
You could have fooled me.
I just keep a running tab. All right. So, that is right. To all the mothers out there, thank you for using your body to bring human beings into this world. No matter what your religious beliefs are, I have seen childbirth, and it is nothing that I think I will ever want to endure. Thank the Lord that I don't have the equipment to do that. So I understand the pain, the suffering, the joy, the anger, the exhaustion that comes with it.
Stop lying to these people. I was going through child labor, and you told me that I needed to wait until you got in that shower. Do you remember?
Oh, I do remember, but you said the same thing. You said, I'm not going until we get into the shower, and we got into the shower. Then we took our bag and we went to the hospital.
Sir,
don't try to play these fucking kids.
I was
kids.
The one going
don't try to play
the
these people.
I'm
not done. First and foremost, I was there from the beginning to the motherfucking end.
I didn't say
the doctor even had to tell me, you need to go home and you need to change. She's going to be fine after you had the baby. I was there. Your sister couldn't.
Ain't nobody said
period.
You weren't.
Don't try
I'm
to play
saying...
me. I was there from the beginning to the motherfucking end. The only thing that I did not do is cut the umbilical cord because I thought I was going to hurt my child. That was
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know you. Who cut it?
Nina.
I wonder if she remembers that. All right. Yes. Do it back. Do your closing again about your mother.
I already finished it. All right. Until next time, make sure that you continue to drink, listen, and converse. Peace and
love.